You're listening to the Behind the Scenes Podcast Diary, episode number 17. Welcome to Amelia's Behind the Scenes Podcast Diary, an exclusive look at the behind-the-scenes misadventures of a 30-something thriller writer. Discover how close she is to releasing her latest novel, hear exciting details about upcoming writing projects, and discover the lessons she has learned along her writing journey so you don't have to make the same mistakes. You can find the episode show notes and lots more information at ameliahay.com/podcast/BTS. Hello, writers. I think accountability is a beautiful thing, and I realize that's a super nerdy thing to say. And what I mean about accountability is accountability in terms of setting and striving towards, in my case, writing goals. In this episode, I'm going to share with you my business and writing goals for the next quarter. As you can expect, I'm going to share an update on my successes and failures from the first quarter of 2019. And I'm going to discuss a new writing-related tool that I'm using to revise missing. That tool is new to me, but it has been around for a while, and I think this tool has evolved over time because as I'm using the tool, I'm looking at the help videos and I've noticed the videos are slightly different to the version that I'm using now. So it's something I purchased like a lifetime subscription to it, and it's good to see that the product has evolved and become better over time, which is what you want when you invest in a new piece of software. As I'm recording this episode, I'm drinking a cup of peppermint tea from a company called T2. From memory, I think T2 is a company I discovered when I live in Australia, and I'm tempted to say that it's Australian, maybe. And to my delight, it's recently been popping up all over London, and I'm just super excited because they have a range of beautiful teas and they're different types of teas. Actually, I think it's Australian because they have a Brisbane tea, which is where I'm from. And I have a funny feeling the Brisbane tea is, it's like a base note. It's obviously base is black tea and it's got notes of other things. And I think it might have a hint of vanilla and a few other things in there. So yes, I think it's Australian, but I'm not 100% sure. But I guess my point is these stores are popping up all over London now, and I can finally get access to the tea that I really love. I mean, I love Lageret, but it really is at the luxury end of the tea market. There are a few other French brands that are just as great as well, and I think they're just as expensive. But for an everyday sort of drinking tea, I really like this peppermint one from T2 because it's just perfect. As of this morning, I'm still reading The Visitor by Lee Child. I know it's a bit embarrassing because it usually doesn't take me this long to go through a book, and it's not the book either. Over the last few weeks, I haven't really had enough time to read. Usually a book like this would take me a week tops. So I might have to start reading over the weekends or just before bed to catch up. The reason why I don't read over the weekends is because I read for two reasons. I read because I like it, and I also want to read books in the genre I'm writing in. So it's work related. It's author life related too. So I don't usually let, actually this isn't true because I'm failing at this at the moment, but I'm trying not to let my author and my other businesses creep into my weekend time. But as I hinted to earlier, I'm sort of failing at that. But back to reading. I've actually reached the 77% mark of the story, and I'm enjoying the story. And Jack is doing exactly what I felt he would do. He seems to be slowly giving into his nomadic side of his personality and that desire just to do a lot of traveling and be by himself. And you sort of get the hint that he's tried to do something different. He's tried to settle in one place and have a normal relationship with someone that I feel that he genuinely loves, but there's also this other part of him that wants to be free. And obviously Lee Child's doing this because it serves the series. If he settles down in one place, he has to constantly find excuses for him to get out of his everyday world and go somewhere else. And it It's much easier if he just happens to travel from place to place and find, and trouble sort of finds him as he arrives. In terms of writing, over the last couple of weeks, I performed a quick line edit for Missing before sending it off to the editor for a copy editing and a proofreading quote. I was using another product to do this, and I realized recently that Grammarly is becoming a little bit better at editing, at pointing out the spelling and grammatical errors in fiction. So I've actually turned to using that over this other product. This other product I was using, actually I will name them, it was Pro Writing Aid, and what I found a bit ridiculous was it was just, it would give you a score and I'd always aim for that 100, and what would happen is I would use a word and the word is perfectly fine. I write to a like a grade 7 understanding, which means a 12-year-old could pick up my book and understand what was going on. Not that I recommend that because it's for adults, but just to keep the wording at a level so anyone of any reading ability can read it. But not only that, you want to use simple language so the words disappear off the page and the story comes alive. Like if you use bigger words and bigger and more complicated words and start using flowery language, what happens is the reader will have to stop and look up a word. And there is a certain celebrity out there that does tweet a lot about political things, and sometimes I have to stop and pull out a dictionary because I'll see a word and I'm like, can you use that word like that? And even sometimes I'm like, what the hell does that mean? And I have to pull out a dictionary, and that's not what I want to do with my literature or with my genre fiction, because it's designed to be a form of escapism. And what I feel this program does is I feel like it's dumbing down my language even more, and I'm not okay with that. It'll take a word that's perfectly fine, that's at a grade 7 standard, and it will make me use another word that I know I've used before. So, and then you change it and then it's like, oh, this is repetitive, and then it'll make me choose this other word, and I'll be like, but the word that I had was perfectly fine to begin with. So it just frustrated me. I know you don't have to listen to all of it, but just it would mark me down in the overall score, and it was just frustrating. So I stopped using it, because at the time I was using Grammarly and that. So I have the Chrome extension, so I can use for Grammarly. So I can use Grammarly in things. So I was using Grammarly in Pro Writing Aid. So I was using them both at the same time. I do the Grammarly pass, and then I would look at the deeper reports in Pro Writing Aid, and I just found that it wasn't helping me. So I stopped using that, and I've just put it through Grammarly, and I've just changed the settings in Grammarly, and I sort of feel like it's a much better experience. I do have the paid versions of both of these products. So I am using Grammarly Premium, and I'm using the paid edition of Pro Writing Aid. I think, I can't remember if there's a free edition of Pro Writing Aid. Maybe there's not. But anyway, I've used Grammarly to help me with that line edit. Actually, before I put it through Grammarly, what I do is I'll get my computer to read it out because it's robotic and it'll pick up on the mistakes. Whereas if I read it out, I don't pick up on the mistakes as easily. There's something about a robotic computer voice just saying the words as it's written on the page. It's much easier for me to point out my mistakes. So that's how I formed the line edit. The unfortunate thing about the revision process is the more I look at the manuscript, the more issues that I find. There's a part of me that thinks this manuscript just isn't ready. At one stage, I felt like I'd written the biggest piece of crap that's ever been on paper. Yeah, I was starting to feel really insecure about it. Like I touched on in last week's episode, this is clearly writer's insecurity. What I really need to do is I need to wait for feedback from the editor about my manuscript before making any changes. And I'm hoping she will tell me whether she feels like my manuscript is ready for an edit or not. The editor got back to me quite quickly, and she's pointed out that she wasn't actually ready. She was quite busy and couldn't look at my manuscript to give me a quote until May, the end of April, beginning of May. And there's a part of me that's sort of wondering whether I should just accept that she's too busy and find another editor from a different company, because she is working, she has her own company, she's working on her own. So last night when I was supposed to be recording this podcast episode, I opened up AutoCrit. I purchased the lifetime access to this program in a Black Friday sale. So That was obviously November last year. So I put my manuscript through the Autocrit software and I ended up with a really good overall score. They give you a score out of 100 based on what they feel needs to be fixed in your manuscript. And my score was quite high. I was expecting to see something around the 50s and it was significantly higher than that. I think it was like 85 out of 100. So I was like, oh, maybe I'm not as bad as what I thought. Maybe I'm just being a bit of a drama queen, which is not unusual for me. So if you haven't heard about Autocrit, Autocrit is an analysis tool that highlights the areas in your manuscript that you need to improve upon. So its focus is on pacing and momentum, dialogue, or what they refer to as strong writing, word choice, and repetition. However, it does not analyze plot, narrative structure, and characterization, or spelling and grammar. So with the plot, narrative structure, and characterization, that really needs to be done by a human editor. It would be very difficult for them to create an algorithm that could provide that type of critique. I have no idea how they would do that, to be honest. And it doesn't do spelling or grammar, and I think it has a slightly different algorithm to things like ProWriting Aid and Grammarly. If you're going to use Autocrit, it's best used after an initial round of revisions that focused on plot characterization and narrative structure. So just to show you what kind of results that I got and what the program actually looks like, I'm going to share a few screenshots in the show notes at ameliahay.com/BTS017. And just a side note, if you want me to do an in-depth review or interview with the guy at Autocrit, let me know in the comments section on the blog post at ameliahay.com/BTS017. Other writing news, I've reached the end of my first revisions of Smarter Goal Setting, and I'm also preparing the resource hub for that goes along with Smarter Goal Setting. The access for that will be included in the ebook. I have no idea how I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to have to provide like a short URL for the paperback, and I'll obviously do a workbook at some stage. So the resource hub will have worksheets in there, and these worksheets are designed to help the reader get the most out of the book. It's to help them take action on what they're learning. So I've gone through the resource hub and I've made sure that the worksheets are in the right places, and I've done intros. I'm unsure whether I want to do like a video introduction for each section of the resource hub. I'm not 100% sure, so I obviously need to make a decision about that at some point. I've decided to do one more revision round of Smarter Goal Setting after this, and it's purely to put in the actionable steps at the end of each chapter. And I'm considering purchasing a professional beta read for Smarter Goal Setting, but I'm not 100% sure. I think I might be doing this out of insecurity, because a professional beta read isn't actually that expensive. Considering the word count, it's probably going to cost about $50. So I'm wondering if it might be worth it. I need to make sure that I get the right person to beta read it though. I guess by now you're wondering whether I hit my business and writing goals and targets for the last quarter. There's no way of dressing this up. I fell behind in my podcasting schedule, but I'm slowly catching up. This week, I had foolishly planned to put out 3 podcast episodes, and then I realized this is going to look really spammy in the podcasting feed. So I've saved the last part, the hero's journey, for next week, which is just the tips and the recommended reading and examples of the hero's journey in other books and films and stuff like that. So that should be the next episode after this one. So as I was working through the quarter, I decided to change my publishing schedule to a rapid release schedule that starts in July, because I thought there's no point me sitting on these books and then just slowly releasing them, because from a marketing perspective, that's not going to give the start of my published fiction author career momentum. So I've made that mistake with Smarter Goal Setting. To this publishing schedule, I've added the first book in my archaeological series and the James Lond prequel omnibus edition, which will be Missing and Silence. So in the later half of this year, I'll be publishing 5 books plus the omnibus edition. What an omnibus edition is, 2 books together in one, because the paperback version of that is referred to as a boxed set, because traditionally these books came as individual books, but within a box. So you can't call an ebook a box set because it's a virtual file. So it needs to be referred to as an omnibus, which is the word we get bus from. We've shortened that omnibus to just a bus. Because I've changed the publishing schedule and I've added a book to that schedule, I've pushed back book number 5 of the James Lalonde series to early 2020. And I'm not sure how I feel about that because it's set around December, so I think I might have to push it to January so the snow still makes sense. Actually, just a side note, I have no idea why I'm obsessed with this at the moment. I'm like, well, I can't publish a book that's set around Christmas time in February because it's not the correct time, but I don't think that actually matters what season the book is in. I think I'm hung up on that actually from memory because I've got a book about Christmas short stories that I still haven't read that I've convinced myself that I can only read in December, which is weird. So I probably should read that. While we're talking about me being behind and stuff, I'm actually a little behind my reading goals for 2019. So I've read 10 books, which means I'm one book behind schedule, but I've almost finished The Visitor by Lee Child. I think I've got around 3 hours of reading time left, so I should be able to finish that and get back on track. At the moment, I'm reading a mixture of writing-related books and thriller novels, all of it. Not at the same time, but I tend to dip in and out of that depending on what I need to read. As I looked back on the quarter and I looked back on what I've achieved and what I haven't been able to get done, I've decided to change my writing tips email from weekly to monthly because it's a lot of content for me to share. It's a lot of stuff for me to come up with and share actionable tips. So I sort of feel like if I do a monthly writing tip email, I'm going to be pushing out quality advice as opposed to giving 4 tips during the month when really I could have just honed in on one thing and gotten really great at explaining how to overcome this issue and the actual steps you need to take right now in your writing life. And I sort of feel like going for a month, I mean, it's obviously convenient for me because there's less work for me to do, but I also have to consider whether this email is worth subscribing to from the point of view of the person who's clicked on the pop-up and entered their name and is expecting writing tips to help them reach a greater level or to become a better writer, which is what you're hopefully getting, which is what you really want when you look for writing tips. You want to become better at writing. And I sort of feel by it that focusing on quality over quantity will actually help them get there. Yeah, so focusing on quality advice over frequency will help me achieve this goal, and hopefully my subscribers for that email will be happy. And during the first quarter of this year, I've also been working on an extra goal that I didn't actually set at the beginning of the year, and that goal is obviously the creation of the second edition of Smarter Goal Setting. I'm actually quite happy with this second edition. I've changed things in there that I needed to change, and I'm going to get a line edit and a final proofread. So what are my goals for the upcoming quarter? The goals that I'm about to share with you are actually broken down into, I guess you could call them, a list of tasks. And some of these tasks I will actually go into a little bit deeper what I actually plan on doing, just so it makes sense and you understand why I want to do these things now and not in the future. In terms of writing, I need to revise Missing in the month of April because I'm aiming to submit the book to a line editor and a proofreader in sort of May, June-ish. The second book in my series needs another maybe 1 or 2 revision passes, and I plan on doing that in the month of May. I guess while I'm here, I probably need to point out that in May, I'll be in America, so Roland and I plan on going to San Francisco, LA, Florida, and maybe New York. So I'll be gone for 3 weeks, so it'll be interesting to see how much work I actually get done in May on silence. In the month of June, I want to revise Immunity. And the reason why I'm revising these books in consecutive months is because I want to do a rapid release. I know I sort of mentioned that earlier in this podcast episode. And while we're on the topic of Immunity, it actually has gone through a round of revisions, just like Silence has. I just need to do a couple more before I send it off to a line editor and proofreader. Because I'm releasing missing, while it does stand on its own, it hints to things that happened before the book that actually belong to a completely different world of characters. So in light of that, I want to finish outlining book one in my archaeological thriller series, which is the book that ties in with missing. After I finish this outline, I want to fast draft this book as well. And there's a part of me that I'm not sure if I want to write this or if I want to write in a completely different series in a completely different genre. But that's just that creative free spirit in me that I do need to rein in at times. So I think I'm just distracting myself from this, and I probably will end up writing this. But there's a part of me that also wants to get back to my romantic comedy roots and write a romantic comedy. I never thought I'd be saying those words, but apparently I am. As well as all of those revision and writing things, I want to write a short story for my mailing list with a tie-in to Missing. And I've sort of planned this. I know the working title is going to be Afternoon Tea, and it'll be approximately 8,000 words. So I should be able to write this book in two sittings, theoretically, or maybe 4 days. So maybe I'll do it over a weekend, over two sets of weekends. And all of this needs to be done by the end of the second quarter, so I have a few months. So I have April, May, and June to work on these things. So in terms of publishing, I know it sounds premature because I haven't sent any of my books to liner editors. I need to create a marketing plan and book launch strategy for Missing, which I will then use and tweak for Silence and all the other books. So as I've said possibly a million times by now, I want a rapid release. And I want to start off being exclusive to Amazon until I hit a certain number of reviews. And I haven't actually set that target for myself yet. So at the moment, I'm sort of thinking a 99% launch, 3 days with Silence as a pre-order, and maybe Immunity as a pre-order as well. But I sort of think I might be taking risks doing that. So it depends on whether I feel I will hit all of these targets as to whether I'll put the pre-order up for Immunity. And I also want to do content marketing for these books. So I'll just arrange a blog post aimed at readers around these books. So with Silence, I'll probably do something about the locations in Silence because they're real locations, whereas Missing kind of has, while the city is real, some of the things in there are fictional, which probably doesn't help me. So I also need to commission a copy edit and a proofread for Missing, and the same thing for Silence as well. I need to create an ebook cover for Missing. Yes, I'm creating my own book covers. I know that's a little frowned upon, but I've purchased a book cover course by Stuart Baish, who is a professional cover designer. And this course was done through the SPF guys, Mark Dawson and James Blatch. So in essence, this course is helping me improve upon my existing Photoshop skills. I've been tweaking covers for Missing, Silence and Immunity for quite some time now, probably since 2015. And my skills have gotten much better, and people that I've shown the covers to are starting to get more complimentary, and they sound more genuine as opposed to, oh, that's nice. So also need to write a book blurb for Missing. I need to format the ebook for Missing, and I'm using vellum. And we're on the topic of making my own covers. I need to make the paperback cover for the standard paperback as well as large print. And I need to format both of these editions in vellum as well. So both the paperback and the large print paperback edition. I'm just doing the large print paperback just because it's actually hard to find a lot of thriller novels with large print, and I thought it would be nice if mine was there. So if someone specifically wanted large print, they could read my book. So the tasks I want to complete in terms of podcasting and blogging, I want to share 3 blog posts on my blog at ameliahay.com. And this is the blog that goes with this podcast, so the Authorpreneur blog. I also want to share 3 blog posts for my thriller author site at authoradhay.com. I've been really slack at blogging this year for this particular website. I've only posted 1 blog post, and it was what to expect from me in 2019. And that was released much later at the end of, I'm tempted to say February, so it was super late. So during quarter two, I want to share four writing tip episodes of the Authorpreneur podcast. Like I said in the previous episode, there'll be a break between season one and two. So the last episode for season one will actually be this week, and season two commences, I can't actually remember, I need to check because I know this date is actually wrong that I've got in my notes. I kind of wish I updated this before I started the podcast because that would have been the logical thing to do. Yeah, so the last episode for season one will be on the 18th of April, and the first episode of season two will be on the 11th of July, and that will be a what can you expect from this episode, where I'll explain what I plan on doing for season two, because I don't, in iTunes and all of the other podcasting stores, I don't have a way of giving season two a name. So this episode will be quite short, so I might release these early, but I do want to record and create, I want to script and record these episodes ahead of time, just so I don't fall behind like I've done the last few years, because I haven't learned my lesson yet. Also want to release 13 episodes of Behind the Scenes Podcast Diary, because I really do want to commit on going weekly with this podcast diary, which is what was actually intended. It appears that I have a lot of tasks to complete over the next quarter. However, many of these tasks are larger goals broken down into tiny steps just to make things a little easier for me. What are your writing goals for the next 3 months? Let me know by coming over to the blog post at ameliahay.com/BTS017 and share your goals in the comments section. Thank you for listening and happy reading and writing, everybody. Thank you for listening to Amelia's Behind the Scenes Podcast Diary. If you love this episode, then hit the subscribe button and leave a review on your favorite podcasting app. I'm your host, Amelia, and I'll see you next week for another diary episode.